Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Friday, and it is a good day here at Faith and Family. I am thrilled about today's show. It is our first Mom's Roundtable, which I have been looking forward to for some time now, and we've got a great cast of characters today to join us for the conversation here in just a little bit. I want to say thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin. If you would like to find out more about Concordia University, you can visit our website, kfuoam.org. Go to the sponsor section, click on the Concordia University, Wisconsin logo there, and you can find out all about Concordia University, Wisconsin. So thanks to them for supporting our show so that we can talk about matters that are important to families. And if you would like to join the conversation today, we'll give you that opportunity here in just a little bit. You can give us a call at 1-800-730-2727, or if you're in the St. Louis area, 314-821-0850, or if you don't feel like talking on the air, you can even email your questions or comments to family@kfuo.org. So joining us, some by phone, some here in the studio, joining us by phone today, we have Jackie Meyer joining us from Churubusco, Indiana, also known as Turtletown. Welcome, Jackie.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And also joining us by phone from upstate New York, Buffalo, New York, is Jamie Crist. Welcome, Jamie.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
And right here in the studio, from our very own staff here at the International Center of Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, we have Kim Shave joining us. Welcome, Kim.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
It helps a lot more if I turn up your mic, doesn't it?
So. Sure, thank you.
So today is our first official Moms Roundtable, and I'll give each of the moms a chance to introduce themselves and say just a little bit about yourself, about your family, you know, kids and all that fun stuff, and you can brag if you want. And then we're going to get into our topic, which is media and kids today. So let's start with Jackie. Jackie, we already mentioned that you live in the big town of Churubusco, Indiana. Tell us a little bit about your family.
Well, I have four daughters. They are, Claire is my oldest. She is 10 years old. Then I have Meredith, who is 8. Amelia is 5. And Olivia is 2.
And you didn't get them on your own, apparently.
No, I did not. Definitely not. I have a husband, Josh, who we actually met at a church camp growing up, and we ended up working there together with the one and only Andy Bates, which is how I know Andy. But anyway, so we grew up in this area, in Fort Wayne area. We live just north of Fort Wayne now. We live out in the country, thankfully, per my husband's request. I didn't care one way or the other, but we have a little plot of land out in the country and a great place for our kids to roam around and do a lot of exploring. We homeschool. My oldest daughter will be in fifth grade this year. My second daughter will be in third grade, and Amelia is entering kindergarten. So we're adding a kid this year, which will be interesting, to say the least, to try to juggle three homeschool schedules, but we do it, and so far so good. And we start a week from today will be our orientation day, with starting school a week from Monday.
So, woohoo!
Yeah.
So remind me again, from youngest to oldest.
2 is my youngest, and 10 is my oldest. So
okay.
2, 5, 8, 10.
Wow. And all girls, right?
All girls. Yes.
Josh is the only guy in the house.
He is. We have 3 male animals around our house, so he says he gets them that way, I guess. But yeah, we are good at girls.
And Jamie, your household is a little more balanced when it comes to guys and girls. Let's hear about your family, Jamie.
Yeah, we're an even split. I have 2 preschoolers, a 4-year-old girl named Addison and a 3-year-old boy named Eli. And my husband is a director of Christian education at our church, and he works with middle schoolers, and then he also does a lot with media and communication. So media is kind of close to our heart, and I'm a stay-at-home mom with my preschoolers.
Wonderful. And so what does a mom with preschoolers find herself doing most of the time?
That's a good question. Actually, I get mocked by my siblings because I'm a teacher by training, and so I get mocked for planning all of these fine motor activities and, you know, novel learning experiences and that sort of thing. But mostly we play and we learn things and we, you know, set up play dates with friends and that sort of thing. It's actually a really great job.
Wonderful. Wonderful. And Kim, tell us a little bit about your family. You're recently new transplants. I think you and Jamie have something in common, both from Ohio, if I remember correctly. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
So recently moved to St. Louis, and tell us about your family and maybe what brought you here to St. Louis.
Sure. My husband is, his name is Steve, wonderful man. He has been serving as a parish pastor the last 7 or 8 years and recently accepted a call here to the International Center, which meant relocating our family. We have 6 children. 2 are with the Lord already, and we have 4 that are with us here. Rachel, who is 16, Sarah, who is 14, Leah, who just turned 13 this week, so we have a house full of 3 teenage girls, so Lord have mercy. And then we have a son that came in at the end of that little pack there, and he's 11.
Okay, so what were the youngest to oldest again, Sarah?
11 to 16.
11 to 16.
Yes.
And Jackie already said she's going to be calling you as soon as the show's over.
Okay, I will do my best.
So you came to St. Louis and you're getting settled in here with a house full of preteens and teenagers, and you're pretty busy too here. So you also serve at the International Center in the Office of National Mission, correct?
That's correct.
And what does a typical day look like for you with National Mission? That probably keeps you pretty busy too.
Oh, it does. We're actually in a transition state this next week as the kids go back to school, so we're going to see how this works, but I'm very blessed to work with wonderful staff members who support the mission of the LCMS here nationally, domestically. It's been rather easy as far as getting in and getting out each day, but as the kids go back to school, the Lutheran schools here in the area next week, it's going to be a little bit of a challenge, so we'll see how that goes.
So we've got 3 busy moms who also spend plenty of time with their families as well, and it's time to get into our topic. And our topic today is media. We're going to look at a couple of different things. TV time and how much time do you spend on TV? How do you handle TV and topics on TV and all those variety of things? We'll also talk about movies. How do you approach movies as a family? And then also internet. How do you handle internet at home? And even today, there are lots of options for internet on the go as well. So let's start with TV. And let's start with Jamie. You've got probably some of the youngest here. How does TV work out in the Christ household?
Well, we did no TV until age 2, as the doctors recommend. And I really didn't expect television to be a big thing in our house because we're so busy and we have so many things going on. But I realized that we really do have attention in our family a lot, with my kids wanting more television and us constantly trying to set those limits. So, and for a while I thought, wow, maybe we're doing something wrong if I'm constantly feeling this tension. But I think I realized that, 1, we have children who have not yet learned moderation, and 2, we have a whole group of researchers and developers whose entire job is to make their show something that my kids just want more and more and more of. So I realized that tension's okay, because that means that I, as a parent, am taking a stand against these things and helping my kids to learn moderation. It varies from day to day, but I would say that probably we watch around maybe 40 minutes to an hour a day. Usually my kids each get a pick on Netflix from a select group of shows. And I like Netflix because there are no commercials, so they're not getting all the additional, you know, marketing. And we know ahead of time what shows we feel comfortable with our kids watching. I feel like at age 3 and 4, it's probably a lot less complicated. I'm guessing that it'll probably be more difficult as they get older with themes and that sort of thing. But generally, we know which shows are presenting themes that we're comfortable with and in a way that we're comfortable with. So that's how we do it here.
And Kim's nodding her head as you say it's probably going to get more difficult as they get older. Kim, what are your thoughts? How do you handle TV in general at the Shave household?
Sure, I long for those days when it was just arguing over Barney or Sesame Street. The challenges are definitely there, and as was pointed out, just the marketing that's employed by the networks and the products, it can certainly be a challenge. So even when we think we're sitting down watching a Monday night football game, we have to scramble to change a station because of some of the commercials that come on. But in our house, our kids have really been wonderful. We've been blessed, I think, through the years. They really get a good sense of what's right and what's wrong and why we have the rules that we have in our house. And what we've done, we've employed a filter for any DVDs that they're watching through a mechanism called ClearPlay. If any of your listeners have heard of that, it's a monthly subscription that's available, and it filters out any violence and poor language from movies that you might be watching.
So does that leave anything on TV then?
Well, that's true. That's a very good point. And then certainly there are parental controls that your cable provider or your cable box you can employ, and we do that as well, just for those times when we're not home and we trust the kids. But you never know. Temptation is what it is, and being what it is.
Sure. And, you know, I was just saying that kind of tongue in cheek.
Yes,
you know,
absolutely.
I think that having something to filter it is certainly helpful. I was just joking because the abundance of violence on TV today is just
right. Absolutely.
It's hard to find something that is going to be valuable to watch. So go ahead. Sorry. You were talking about resources.
Oh, no, that's all. And okay. The TV ratings that are out there, you even have to watch those carefully, because some things that Hollywood may say, or who, you know, the organizers of a particular show may say is appropriate for a child of a certain age. You know your children, you know what they're capable of understanding and processing, and you really just have to make those considerations as a parent and help your children make those wise decisions as they get older.
Absolutely. There are some networks that are marketed as family networks, but then when you look at the lineup of what's on the network, I think, gosh, I would have a lot of explaining to do. Now, granted, I think that conversations, family conversations, are obviously important, and talking about the world around us and the things we see is important. But some of them are just, when I look at the lineup and with our child on the way, thinking, how am I going to handle these things down the road? So I'm very thankful for all of you moms today who are joining the conversation and sharing this conversation with us today. So Jackie, it's your turn. How do you handle TV in the Meyer household?
Well, we do a kind of a mix of things, I suppose. We do some regular TV. We don't have Netflix or cable or anything like that, but we do a lot of DVDs, and we also do a lot of just PBS, and we have a few PBS stations here in the Fort Wayne area. We have the PBS Kids show or Kids station that my kids, you know, watch a lot, like as far as when they get to choose something to watch. And then we also have what's called Create TV, where it has the,
I love, you know, Create
TV. I know, we watch it all the time. But that's honestly mainly what my husband and I even watch in the evenings, just because, you know, there is a lot of crud on TV anymore, and I just have a hard time watching it myself. I personally don't enjoy violent shows, and by the time we get our kids in bed and even if we have time to sit down, which really isn't very often anymore, there's always something to do. But, you know, we might sit down and watch, you know, an America's Test Kitchen or a This Old House kind of a show. But, you know, those are shows that it's nice because, you know, on the weekends, sometimes my husband will want to sit down and watch one of those. And it's nice because my kids will sit down and watch it with them. And I think, you know, they're at least seeing some sort of a trade, even when they're, you know, watching that sort of a show. But
sure.
But yeah, we don't really watch a lot of network TV at all. The only thing that my kids actually watch on regular TV besides something like football on Sundays would be America's Funniest Home Videos. That's kind of a Sunday night treat in our house. But even then, in the commercials and things like that, and even some of the videos are even a little borderline sometimes, at least for my kids. And my younger kids obviously don't know often, you know, they don't get what's going on, but my older kids are starting to pick up on things and saying, why did they say that? Or why did they do that? Why did they think that was funny? You know, and some things you're going, well, you know, trying to explain these things. And, but we do, you know, I love, we get from the library, we'll just check out, you know, Clifford movies or Busy Town or things like that. And it's nice because you don't get those commercials in there, and you don't get that marketing to your children. And those marketers are very smart in what they do, and they do it well. So I will definitely give them that. But we do, as far as TV time is concerned, in the summer, my kids probably watch a little more TV. They maybe get about an hour, maybe two a day at the most. I mean, that would be almost unheard of.
Mm-hmm.
When they would get up to 2 hours during the day. Maybe, you know, if I had something I was working on that I absolutely had to get done kind of a thing. But usually I would say about an hour in the summer. And during school times, we really just don't have time to sit and watch TV. They maybe would get 30 minutes a day, and maybe a little more for my younger kids if I was trying to get something done school-wise, where they would sit down and watch, you know, a leapfrog type video, or you know, maybe a Curious George or something like that. But you know, maybe for 30 minutes in the morning during school time, my younger kids might watch something. But my older kids are getting to the point where they don't have a lot of time during the school year to watch a lot of TV.
Sure, sure. And it sounds like among all three families that TV is not always just about entertaining, that there are certainly some educational opportunities, especially with the younger children. And I think it's interesting, Jackie, that you pointed out that especially watching things like Create TV and some of the food shows, aside from the fact that I get hungry when I watch those shows, that there's a big cultural difference there between what you would find in most commercial TV, and that is most commercial TV is about being a consumer. And so we can talk about advertising in just a little bit, but you pointed out that in watching those shows that you were mentioning, that they're learning about a trade. They're learning about something productive, whether it's like, you know, watching a cooking show or some other trade, This Old House and things like that. When they're watching those things, they're learning about being productive rather than something that's enticing them to be a consumer. That speaks volumes about who we are as a culture today, that most of our entertainment is geared toward being a consumer, being an individualistic society as well. So,
right.
Any other suggestions or any other recommendations about things that are, and I don't know, Jamie, you may have some suggestions as well of shows that you like that are helpful in building up, not just about entertaining.
To think of our favorites, I most of the time my kids are watching like Caillou or Diego or, you know, preschool things, but obviously they get some things out of but we haven't really gotten into a lot of educational television yet. I think just because we just haven't, but there's just aren't as many options that we've thought about with that, or I kind of see it as a break during the day.
So Eli's not watching cooking shows yet?
He's not, but I think he'd probably really like them. I'm not sure on Netflix. I'll have to see if there are any that are appropriate. One time I turned on TikTok and I was amazed by the profanity, so probably not that one. But so we really, you know, we really haven't. One thing that as a preschool mom that has been helpful to me is I used to kind of put it on like right before dinner so I could be getting things done. And what I realize is more helpful is if I'm actually sitting and watching with them, which kills me sometimes because that's my little bit of free time, but it helps me to help them process. And also, there's only so long that I can take sitting watching Diego, and so it's really easy then to help them transition into something else fun and move out of that too. So we try to do co-watching when we can. It doesn't always work, but I feel like that's important just because what they are getting, I'm helping them to process, and we can discuss it later, and I know what they're talking about.
Co-watching is valuable. And Kim, you're shaking your head. Yeah, only so many episodes of these things that I can watch. How did co-watching, or how, you know, obviously TV can be a very easy and affordable babysitter at times. But as Jamie said, sitting around and watching the shows together is valuable because that then you know what's going on and it can open conversations down the road. Any thoughts on that?
Sure, with my older children, obviously, some of those shows, as I listen, I remember fondly those days when it was easy shows where I didn't have to worry about the content. With my girls especially, we tend to watch shows like Cake Boss and Say Yes to the Dress, and even though sometimes the content or the characters that they bring on those shows can be a little bit questionable at times, it gives us opportunities to talk about, especially with the wedding situation, what that means, mm-hmm. especially venues, how important it is that we're talking about this being in the church and how little in God's economy the dress matters. But it's still fun to watch, and we have some great conversations.
How TV involves, as we were talking about earlier, TV involves a lot of advertising, especially when you're watching network TV or commercial TV. We've talked about ways to avoid it. When not avoiding it, how do you address those ads? I was just reading some statistics here from the American Psychological Association that food ads on television make up 50% of all the ad time on children's shows. 50%. which makes sense. You know, when we look at fast food restaurants, I believe that originated with marketing toward children with Happy Meals and things like that. So how do you... How in the past or have you handled commercials? You know, December is just a crazy time for TV commercials that are geared toward, you know, marketing toward children so that they would then appeal to their parents. How do you handle those commercials? Kim, you've probably got the most experience here, but we can also go to Jamie and Jackie as well. Kim, how do you handle those commercials? How do you respond to them when your kids see those commercials? Mom, I want that, or let's go there.
Well, that's one benefit of having been the wife of a pastor and PKs in the house. We didn't necessarily have the resources or disposable income to be able to give those types of gifts necessarily. Some of the larger gifts they see on TV, we've really moved past that stage where toys are not really the item du jour, so to speak. Now it's more video games, and we have to certainly talk about that and look at the ratings of video games. But we are well beyond a lot of that marketing influence, even when you talk about fast food and some of those items geared to kids. So God got us through, and I'm very thankful for him for doing that.
Well, and your kids are probably at that. They're probably that generation that they have been marketed to from the moment they were born, even before they were born.
Absolutely.
Someone has been marketing to them. They're probably kind of, in a sense, kind of jaded by it, and they don't even... You really have to do something very specific to market to that generation, I would imagine, now.
I think so. And again, it seems to be more technology when you look at iPads and video games and different things to catch your attention in that way. It seems to be technology. So it's big ticket items, not like the, you know, $10 little Fisher Price toy anymore. So it certainly has different challenges at this age.
Jackie, I know that you all generally will rent videos or check out videos from the library and that sort of thing, but I know you've mentioned occasionally you will watch some TV that'll have some commercials from time to time. How do you deal with those commercials?
Well, we are kind of like what Kim said as far as not having a lot of disposable income. Obviously, me not working, we only have one income coming into our home. And so oftentimes, as far as even just the food type commercials or the toy type commercials that my kids would see, you know, we just often encourage our kids, even on a daily basis, if we're just walking through Target and they say, oh, I want that doll, or I want that, you know, can I get that kind of a thing? We just, from the get-go, I have said to my kids, I will add that to your Christmas list. And I have a list in the back of my calendar that I just constantly, when my kids say they want something, I will just jot it down. And it actually makes for a great resource, you know, at Christmas time when grandmas are asking, what do I get your kids? And I already have a good list going, you know, as to what they might want. And you know, that's just something that we will always say to our kids. You might want to put that on your birthday list or your Christmas list or whatever, as far as that goes. And I'm just going to have to be honest. We don't really get a lot of, you know, food requests other than they just want to eat out, not from advertising anyway, or not that I notice. But I would probably treat that really the same way. Just, well, you know, that would be a special treat sometime. Maybe we mm-hmm. could do that. And you know, we just often say we just choose not to spend our money in that way. But as far as just, I know you and I had discussed before, just some even advertisement that is inappropriate for my kids to see. You know, when we're watching football on Sundays, you get all kinds of different ads in those football games, especially the later in the evening that it gets. But our kids, they have just learned. We started at a very young age saying, you know, you may not watch this. Don't look at this. You know, when we're often trying to have the control in our hands, so we know when those commercials come on that we don't want them to see. But it is a very, very much so, they can tell by the tone of the commercial whether or not they can watch that commercial. And I always just say, if you're in doubt, don't watch it. You know, it's not going to hurt you not to watch it. And that's just kind of how we've handled it from the beginning.
You're not going to miss out on a life-changing opportunity if you skip the commercial. Is that what you're saying?
Not at all. I mean, really. I mean, even if it's you know, because some commercials, they'll make them sound scary and, you know, really intense, and then it's just a car commercial, you know, and it's not that big of a deal. But, you know, we just really, you know, you never know what's going to come out of some of those commercials, even if they look innocent, honestly. And
sure.
So, you know, just to be present and to know what your kids are watching. Yeah, I think that's really important.
I suppose the exception to that would be Super Bowl commercials. Those might be life-changing.
They might be. You never know. You never know. To an 8-year-old, absolutely. Absolutely.
Today we are we're enjoying our first Mom's Roundtable on Faith and Family as we're discussing media and kids. Stick around, we've got more coming up with our moms here on Faith and Family.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of inspiration and action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit CUW.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
The population of the state of Maine is shrinking. Last year, according to a report from the Governor's Office of Policy and Management, more people from the state died than were born. Their birth rate has gradually fallen over the last couple of decades, and it has the highest percentage of baby boomers in the nation. As state budgets tighten, Maine will realize babies are their best renewable resource. Abortions played a key role in shrinking populations of many countries who are in a panic and working on ways to increase the number of babies being born. I suspect other states, in addition to Maine, will someday be looking for ways to do the same. The Bible clearly says babies are a blessing. Societies that abort their children are sure to reap what they've sown.
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
On His Time, we sanctify your day with the Word of God in prayer. The church year sets our clock. The Word of God feeds our souls and all courtesy of Treasury of Daily Prayer. And we even discuss matters important to you and the whole church. And don't forget to join us for morning prayer every morning right here on His Time.
Weekday mornings beginning at 7 a.m. on KFUO.
It's a face-off on the footbridge.
You're to let me cross over first because I'm a girl.
Boys never go back.
On one side, Nancy Wright.
My father is an admiral in the Queen's Navy.
On the other side, Teddy Platt.
My father was a hero in the Queen's Army.
It's a showdown that will go down in history, or at least in the water, as the most popular Lamplighter book of all time comes to life in Teddy's Button on the next Lamplighter Theater.
Saturday mornings at 11 on Worldwide KFUO.
Hi, I'm Pastor Doug Nicely. We forget sometimes that St. Paul was Jewish and he wasn't a Protestant like many of us are. St. Paul wrote to the Galatians, "We ourselves who are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners. Yet we know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ." And that's an important statement for St. Paul to make, an important reality that he had to learn. We all need to learn it anew. And we're going to talk about that this week on In His Steps.
The sister of an American tour operator and Christian missionary who's been detained in North Korea for 9 months says
he only had the best of intentions for the to want to help the people and the nation of North Korea. And maybe he was a little bit overzealous. I'm not sure.
Kenneth Bay was accused of hostile acts against North Korea and has been sentenced to 15 years of hard labor. His sister, Terry Chung, isn't sure why. And while there was a video of him taken several years ago in which Bay advocates bringing Americans to North Korea for a mass prayer session to bring about the reunification of North and South,
he didn't have any evil intentions against the country or the people.
Chung is urging North Korea to grant clemency to her 45-year-old brother, who she fears is in failing health. And while the U.S. doesn't have diplomatic relations with North Korea,
we need our help of our government to help bring him home, that the two nations really need to be engaged in a conversation.
I'm Steve Coleman.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates, and it is our first official Moms Roundtable here on Faith and Family, having a great conversation with our three professional moms, I might say, three great moms who are talking about media, children and media. How do we handle these topics at home when it comes to TV and movies and internet? So we've talked quite a bit about TV and advertising and briefly touched on movies, primarily watching movies at home. But how do you handle movies? We'll go back to Jamie. I'm guessing with a little one, movies for the whole family, going out to the movies with the whole family might be kind of a challenge, huh?
It is. We've done it twice. and honestly, the first time we went, my son was really too young, but it was cheaper than getting a babysitter. So we took him and I walked up and down the aisles with him and, you know, out in the hallway. But one, it's really difficult for us to find movies that we feel comfortable bringing our preschoolers to. And then also, really, just until recently, not even my daughter had the attention span to sit through a movie. And it's pretty cost intensive for us at this point, especially when they're going to lose interest halfway through. And then the other thing about full-length feature movies is that it seems like they have more dramatic, like they have bigger climaxes. And my children are pretty scared easily. So it seems like most of the time when we found movies that are potential movies as a special treat, most of the time when we kind of check them out, it seems like it's not really worth it for us at this point. But we've gone a couple times. They love the popcorn and they like the experience. It's just not something that really works for us.
They were memorable occasions, but probably not because of the plot of the movie.
Exactly. That would probably be accurate.
I was thinking back to one of my first times of going out to the movies and with some of my cousins who had taken me to the movies. And it was memorable, but not because of the movie. It was because it was one of the first times I tried to use a drinking fountain in public and the water went up my nose. And and I think that pretty much ruined the rest of the movie for the night because I was like coughing and everything else. I think we had gone to see Winnie the Pooh. That tells how old I am, going out to see Winnie the Pooh on the big screen, one of the originals. So going to the movies with toddlers, obviously kind of challenging. What about with Jackie, with your kids? You've got some older kids. Does the family ever go out to movies? I know we've talked about doing movies at home.
You know what? I don't think that we have ever gone out to the movies as a family, mainly because, you know, it's hard, like Jamie said, it's hard to find something that everyone would be okay with. I know we have gone with my mom before where we've taken my kids and gone with my mom, but that was a little bit of a disaster because I have a couple of very sensitive children. One of mine especially is very sensitive to just characters being mean to each other in movies, and she cannot watch it. And we were in the middle of this movie and she said, I don't want to watch it. And I think we spent about 45 minutes out in the hallway sitting waiting for, you know, her to gain courage to go back into the movie theater. And so honestly, for us, it's just better to do it, to do the movies at home. And so then that way, if something is scary, we can either fast forward through that part or she can go back to her room for a little bit or whatever it is. And, you know, it's my mom has taken my kids, you know, one-on-one to a movie before, but most of the time I go online and I research the movie really well. Focus on the Family has a great website called PluggedIn.com where you can go and you can just click on current movies or videos, music, TV, games, and all those kinds of things, and it gives you a really good rundown of the different, you know, positive elements and negative elements and whether there's violence or sexual content or language or anything like that, and they give their overall conclusion of the whatever it is as a whole. And you know, I've used that site in particular before just to get a good idea of whether or not I think my child will do well in this particular movie.
So certainly, we'll talk a little bit more in just a little bit about the resources to help you prepare. I know Kim's got it was plugged in as well, and some other resources that might be helpful to prepare to go to the movie. As we were talking about taking young ones to the movies, it reminds me of one of the fun things that my family did as a kid, when I was a child, was we went to the drive-in movie theater, and we have one here in the St. Louis area. And Jamie, I think there's still one in not too far from you in Angola, isn't there?
Yeah, actually, there's one in Angola, and there's one even closer to us on Transit Road in Lockport. And it's a great drive-in. It has Wi-Fi. My kids go to bed at 8, so we've never made it to the drive-in. I waited until they're old enough for drive-in 8.
And Jackie, there's one probably not too far from you as well, correct?
Yeah, we have one just over in Garrett. It's about 20 minutes from here. But our time change, when we went on to Eastern time, we don't get dark till 10 o'clock, so it doesn't start till 10. And again, it's the same kind of thing.
Sure.
We've never been. I went when I was a kid and when I was in high school and things. But again, you still have, with that, with the whole, you never know what you're going to get movie-wise.
Right.
I feel kind of like one of those kinds of parents, but I kind of am. And
it's okay. You can be one
proud
of those.
Of it. I would just definitely do a whole lot of research before.
Absolutely.
Before I did that.
And one of the movie theaters or one of the drive-in theaters here in the St. Louis area, right across the river in Belleville, they actually have two screens, and one of them they generally have a movie that's geared toward kids. It doesn't necessarily always mean it's appropriate, but
right.
But they usually have a like last week, I think they had they usually do double features, and they were some of the movies that are geared toward kids. I remember though, as a drive-in, going as a child to the drive-in, my parents would always bring things for me to do because I did get bored after a few minutes. We'd have a blanket and we could sit and eat snacks and that sort of thing. So it kind of helped, I guess, deal with that short attention span. And getting to go to the snack bar, that was like the big deal at the movies, at the drive-in theater, to get to go and get something from the snack bar. Kim, how, you've got teenagers, how do you deal with movies with a family full of teenagers? And I'm sure with mostly girls, that might be, I don't know if that's different or not than having girls and boys, but how do you handle movies?
I'm still laughing, thinking back to memories of being a kid at the drive-in, and my two older brothers, there's a dual screen, and we're watching the children's feature, but my brothers would inevitably turn around and watch what's going on in the other adult movie, rated R. So I'm just having memories of that. But for us, we have fond memories of the drive-in. I'm glad to know that there's one here in St. Louis. I'm writing that down so my kids will know. For us, we don't go to any R movies. It's just not an option. As I was talking to my oldest daughter, who's 16, the other day about this program and things that I should talk about, she's like teasing me about how she's going to be 17 in a few months and she can go to R movies now. And I just looked at her and said, you may think you are, but you're not. And she was just giving me a hard time. But our kids are to the point where they know that just through the years of bringing them up and helping them to understand the dangers of what they could be exposed to, they really don't have an interest in seeing anything that we wouldn't approve of. And it's a challenge in their schools, even within the Christian schools. People look down at them like, you can't go see an R-rated movie. Even our son, who's 11, has classmates whose parents take them and don't think twice about it. And so there are times when they're ridiculed a little bit, but we just take it in stride and they understand that we're trying to protect them from things that could come of it, or just some of the language and other visual depictions that are shown that they just don't need to see.
So they certainly face some struggles, peer pressure and things like that. But it sounds like from your perspective, they've got a pretty good grasp on why.
Yes, they do.
If they have a good grasp on why you do what you do, that probably makes it easier for them to stand their ground and not necessarily cave to peer pressure, in the future.
We've found that to be the case, yes.
So movies in general, Jackie, I know you said you check out movies from the library. So obviously you've done some research on those before. And you mentioned Plugged In. Any other resources, Jackie, or that you would recommend for checking how to prepare for movies or what you would do to do some investigating?
Honestly, I just talk to a lot of other parents that, other than Plugged In, I don't have an online resource to recommend for you other than that. That's the one that I use most often. But I just talk to other parents that I feel have the, almost identical parenting styles and limits in place as we have. My husband's family, they have kids that are all exactly the same age as our kids. And with even older kids up to, about age 14 or so. And so I know that they will have good recommendations. They know what our guidelines are. They know, we all have the same guidelines for our kids.
Mm-hmm.
And so I use them as resources and other just friends of our family and friends, from church and things that we know have very similar parenting styles, I ask them for recommendations. Those are really great resources, and if they've sat and watched through, you know, their kids' movies, then they can be just, you know, a great resource.
It's nice to have, I'm sure it's nice to have that community, that sense of community with other parents who are like-minded. Not everybody has that.
Right,
so that's a real blessing. Kim, did you have any, I know we mentioned Plugged In, any other resources or anything else that you recommend off the top of your head? I guess the other one was for TV, and what was that?
Oh,
Clear?
Right, that was for Clear Play, and that's if you're viewing DVDs from home. It's a
device?
They give you a whole box, okay, and you have a subscription, and you update it frequently as new movies come out, and that takes out any of the violence and poor language. I think you can even select which filters you want to employ. So
I'm thinking if you turn on the filter to take out violence and you put in something like The Terminator or something like that,
you get 2 minutes a movie, I think.
Jamie, any thoughts on movies that you bring? Do you do movies at home, rent movies or anything like that?
We occasionally have done a family movie night, usually on a night when mom and dad are completely exhausted for some reason, and just kind of meet, you know, maybe once every few months, if that. And we usually do either a DVD or, you know, a movie on Netflix that's a kid movie. And, you know, ahead of time, usually if we've planned it ahead of time, we've gone through and picked one out that doesn't look too bad. Again, it helps that we're right there watching it with them. So if it seems like it's a little too crazy, we can just fast forward or find something different. We watched some really boring movies. But my children have enjoyed it, and we all pile on the couch together and you know, have that moment together. So
Sure. And I would say, yeah, some of those resources where you're watching movies streaming online and in a big collection of movies, and you're like, oh, this looks good. And then you get about 2 minutes into it, and you're like, oh, isn't really as... Yeah. in our household, in the Bates household, too, that's common. That while our baby is still in the womb, he's still hearing those things. So we're mindful. We try to be mindful of those things that he's hearing. And I'm not sure where this statistic came from. A few years ago, I heard a statistic. Well, I guess it's been more than a few years. The largest, what population, back when Friends was airing regularly, Friends TV show was airing regularly, what audience, what age group do you think is the largest number of people watching TV? I guess it was the largest number of like children under 12 or something like that. What age group do you think was watching that show most? It was actually 2-year-olds.
Oh.
Not because, and it wasn't necessarily intentionally, it was because mom and dad are watching it and the 2-year-olds present in the room. Uh-huh. Now, I granted, this is hearsay, so I guess I can't really, I don't have the facts behind that on the statistics on that and where that report came from. I just remember hearing that. So I guess we could say it's hypothetical, but it brings up a good point that kids sometimes are unintentionally watching things on TV because mom and dad are watching something and expecting the children not to be watching it. They're doing, you know, thinking the children are doing something else, but really they're unintentionally watching a TV show too. So, you know, something that sounds like, you know, the name Friends sounds like a great show. Sounds friendly, right? But you know, obviously there were a lot of adult topics in that show. And so probably not the first thing for a 2-year-old to be watching. Mm-hmm. Some movies we've talked about quite a bit and resources for movies. Let's move on to internet and internet time. Internet is, you know, there are all kinds of things all over the web. And now you can take the internet with you on devices wherever you go, you know, which... smartphones and iPhones and things like that. You can get on the internet just about anywhere today. I don't know, maybe not in some parts of Churubusco. I'm not sure.
Well, we've got it in Churubusco too.
So how do you handle internet in your households? Let's start with, we'll go with Kim, then Jamie, and then Jackie. How's that sound? Kim, how do you handle internet with teenagers?
Oh, it's a challenge. I long for those days when they were much younger and they chose academic or educational little sites that they wanted to visit, and they still do, but even then you have to be so careful. Facebook is certainly probably the most prevalent social media tool kids are using. And
oh, wait, I got to update my status here. Hang on.
Oh, stop that. So the biggest challenge, I think, is just helping our girls. Now, our son's not allowed to be on yet. Our girls are on, and we're very careful to make sure the privacy settings are set to the most extreme setting that they can be, and just being very careful they don't accept friend requests without talking to us about it first, making sure it's somebody that we know personally. Goodness, just not mentioning when they're going to be out of town. It's just kids, mm-hmm. things that kids aren't really thinking about at their ages, and how that information can be used
right.
to in some way cause harm, or even just sure. Whether that's physical or their reputation. So we just try to do a lot of teaching and help them understand the importance of keeping their information private.
We talked about that yesterday. Actually, our topic was bullying mm-hmm. and how social media is basically the public square. Anything you say or put out there on social media, really just about anybody has access to it. So if you're saying something personal, or you're saying something about yourself, or making any kind of statement, you're opening yourself up. You're vulnerable and opening up yourself for others to make comment on it, to respond to it, just as if you were walking out and even more so than just walking outside and saying something in the public square. It's really opening up to people all over the world to be able to respond to it. Internet. How do you handle internet in the Christ household with toddlers, Jamie?
Well, actually, I think the internet, of all of the topics we're discussing, is probably the one that is most terrifying to me, because I'm aware of what could happen. And my husband, working with middle schoolers, has, you know, spoken with parents about that. But at least right now in our lives, I feel like it's the most rewarding of all the different media options that we have, because my kids don't know how to type in a URL yet, so pretty much whatever I type in is what they get. So they really, you know, it's only been educational. They love starfall.com, which is, you know, an educational preschool, young elementary site. They really enjoy that, and their fun games and reading skills there. And also, my daughter loves learning. She has a list going all the time on what topics she wants to learn about. And so when we have some downtime, we'll pick a topic and just, you know, I'll go online and, you know, look up a few kid videos about it, or, you know, whatever, a printable page or something, and we'll learn about it. So for us, I love the internet right now. The internet is a great tool for me as a parent who wants to be teaching my kids. But also I realize that, like, just my kids' familiarity with it, they aren't aware right now that there even are dangers, because they're 4 and 3, and because I'm always with them, and because it's so sheltered. So I think that right now, while I love it so much, and while it's so good for our family and for our interactions and our learning, it also terrifies me, because I realize this is not always going to be where we're at. And so, you know, so my husband and I have talked a lot about, okay, as they grow, how are we going to make sure that the, you know, the correct things are in place where they're protected?
Wow. Yeah. It's just, it's kind of that double-edged sword, you know, the coin with two sides. It's one side, it's a great resource or a lot. There's a wealth of things on the internet, but when unleashed, it could also be a very dangerous thing as well. Mm-hmm. Jackie, you've got probably the broadest spectrum of ages here. How do you handle internet in your household?
Okay, well, obviously my 2-year-old is not involved in the internet at all. We started out internet-wise just doing what, you know, Jamie said, just doing Starfall, and I mean, that was probably my first kid's website that they were ever on. And they still go to that as something they want to do. We have a list of just favorites marked, where I say, these are the sites you may be on. You may not click off of these sites. If you do click off of these sites, they know how to click the back button to go back. At least my older kids do. My 5-year-old doesn't know how to do that yet. And I'll just say to her, if you click on something that you shouldn't, then, you know, just let me know and I'll come over and I'll fix the screen for you. And we've really only had them click on, you know, an advertisement or something accidentally, you know, once or twice. I mean, it really doesn't happen often in our home anyway. Our computer always stays in the kitchen in a public area where I can walk by anytime I want and look over and see what they're on. You know, most of the time they're just playing little games on, you know, ABC or Lego.com or PBS Kids, you know, one of those types of sites. And you know, other than that, they're not allowed to go to anything else, and I threaten them so that they don't, but they know they only are allowed to go to the sites, and if they don't, you know, they're going to lose their computer time for, you know, a week or so, and I've never had an issue with them so far, thankfully. I'm hoping we don't in the future, but, you know, I mean, I'm not, mm-hmm. I don't I know that that could happen.
Sure.
And being that my older daughter's 10 now and she's getting to the age where she knows there are other things out there, you know, I use YouTube videos occasionally to let her, you know, learn how to do something. She wanted to learn how to make balloon animals, you know, last spring. And so I pulled up all these videos for her, and Pinterest has actually been a really nice resource as far as that's concerned, because I just make a page for her with all of her things on it, and I just show her how to get to her page, and then she can go there with permission and look through and find those types of things that she wants to learn.
And that obviously has to take some time, and you have to be involved in order to manage all that.
Yeah, and I've had my kids before ask and say, you know, can we go search for puppy videos on YouTube? And I say, no, you know, you can't. They know that there are these cute little dog videos that they want to watch. And I say, I will find, you know, 10 for you and put them on Pinterest, and then you can go back and look at those. Because, I mean, along that right side of your YouTube board, you know, you just get so many things that you do not know what's in there, and you never know when, you know, someone's going to lure your child with a cute puppy video. So anyway,
<Yeah. laughs> well, you mentioned time. The internet is infinite, basically, relatively speaking. One could spend literally an infinite amount of time on the internet because they would never find the end of the internet.
Right.
And so you have, I believe you've mentioned that you have designated time of how much time they can spend on the internet. Is that right?
Yeah, my kids get, during the school year, they get maybe 15, 20 minutes max per day that they can, play little games. We don't have any video game systems in our house of any sort. So my kids aren't asking to play video games. We don't have that type of a device in our home. So those are probably the most video type games that they play, or computer type games that my kids play are on the internet. But really, I just, you know, I say 15 minutes, and sometimes that doesn't even happen. So they each get 15 while our entire house is under rest time. I let them cycle through the computer during that time. And, you know, if they get to it, they get to it. And if they don't, I don't shed any tears.
So what, both, I think everybody's mentioned some websites. What would be one or two of the, probably the websites that have been most helpful to you for the kids?
Starfall.com is a great website just with preschool games, learning games. ABCYA, it's just ABCYA.com, has been a really good one for my kids, just very educational, and that's divided by age groups. I think even grades is where that's divided. Jelly Telly is from the creators of VeggieTales. Those guys created Jelly Telly, which is, they have little videos and games and things like that, and you'll see a lot of their characters in there. But those are probably some of the main ones that my kids, I mean, PBS Kids has a nice site. Mm-hmm. Lego.com has a nice site.
Jamie, I know you mentioned Starfall. Any other websites that...
I'm actually writing down all the ones that she's saying.
And the show is being recorded today. It'll be archived. So anybody that's listening and trying to catch all this, you can go to KFUOAM.org. Probably by early next week, it should be posted on the website, KFUOAM.org. Go to the Faith and Family Archives and pull it up, and you can listen to the show all over again, just like we're doing today. Kim, any websites that have been helpful in your household?
Well, it's more of a challenge with the ages of our kids. Being in their Lutheran schools, they're actually issued iPads, so they're required to have the technology and do their research, and even their textbooks are on the iPads. So even though the schools insert some controls on that, it's an issue where for their school projects, they have to be on looking at various websites. So we just have to employ the monitoring mechanisms that we've put in place, our deterrents of letting them know that we are watching and viewing the website history, making sure they understand that. And I think the greatest deterrent happens to be siblings. They'll all kind of keep an eye on each other, and they let the parents know exactly what they're doing if they're not looking at what they should be. We haven't had a problem with that. So
well,
it's a great deterrent.
It sounds like you all have perfect children.
I'm going to have to go with Kim that siblings are a great resource for that kind of eye keeping. So.
Well, this has been probably for our first Moms Roundtable. This has been, I think, very enlightening for me, especially as we're expecting our first child. So I really appreciate you all spending time with us today. I appreciate the insights that you've shared and learning from your experience, your wisdom. Thank you, Jackie from Churubusco, Indiana.
Thank you.
And Jamie, thanks for from Buffalo, New York. Thanks for joining us today.
You're welcome.
And Kim, thanks for joining us right here in St. Louis.
My pleasure.
And stick around. Next week, we're going to talk about cultural diversity in children. So how do you handle it when your little one says in public, Mommy, that person looks different, or that person talks different than us? How do you handle that and turn it into a teachable moment rather than something embarrassing? And we'll talk about cultural diversity right here on Faith and Family next week. Stick around for Moments of Assurance on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.